Lisa and I started standing against all hope. If there's still hope, you're not standing against all hope. You're not against all hope. There's still some hope. There is no hope in these circumstances whatsoever. There's hope, but only in God. There's no hope in the natural circumstances. For Abraham, there was no hope that he could have a child. For Sarah, no hope that her womb could bear a child. No hope, none. It was dead, lights out. And when I now look at, be faithful even to the point of death, and then I will give you life. Not to the point of sickness, not to the point of weakness, not to the point of difficulty, to the point of death. And this is the point of death. Lazarus had to physically die. He's an older man, he's kind of frail, he doesn't work there, he seems to know the airport like the back of his hand. So we get in the elevator and I said, so how can I help you? What kind of help do you need? I need $17.50 to be able to get to so-and-so, whatever. I said, no problem, I can make that happen for you. And he goes, that's what I'm talking about. You know, yeah, I help you and you help me out. That's the way I like to do it, you know. And I'm still not convinced this guy is a real person. So I thought to myself, you know, I don't know, that guy very well could have been an angel. The Bible says, you know, entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unawares. Welcome to episode 30 of The Grace to Love Again, and the story of truly one of the most bizarre, mysterious, and certainly most memorable days of my Christian life. It was August 25th, 2021. I had a $1,300 one-way ticket to Auckland, New Zealand, but I still had no passport, no visa. The borders in New Zealand were closed, and I had no 14-day MIQ isolation reservation in New Zealand. And yet, I had packed up my every last belonging into four large suitcases, plus one carry-on and one backpack. I had rented a one-way rental car, and I was about to drive 4 hours to the Atlanta International Airport, the busiest airport in the world, as stupid as it really sounds, all because I believed I had a promise from God and that I must go in obedience to Him. Fortunately, my wife Lisa and I communicate through WhatsApp, so many of the events of this day were captured in real time on audio recording. 3:47 a.m., August 25th, 2021.
Hi, my baby. Good morning. Sweetheart, I slept, baby, very good. Do you know something, sweetheart? I never even thought about coming. Never had one anxious thought, never stayed awake.
Wow, thank you, Father. Oh, I'm so pleased you had a good night's sleep, my baby. Wow, Father did bless you with good sleep, didn't he?
Although I slept well by the grace of the Lord, while I continued to lay in bed, I suddenly came under a debilitating spiritual attack out of nowhere on my mind.
I mean, I can feel it. It's like in my body. And that's why I was like, nope, I've got to get up. I mean, literally, I went from feeling fine and not even having any problems to all of a sudden it just moved in on me like a black cloud. I mean, how do you explain it? And I can feel it. I can feel it. I can feel the frustration. I can feel the disappointment. I mean, I don't want to make this into something it's not, but how else can I explain this? That I can literally feel it in my stomach, in my body. Wow.
Lisa immediately began praying for me.
Father, I just pray that you put a hedge of protection around Michael's mind. Father, I just pray that you protect his mind against any negative thoughts that the enemy tries to whisper in his ear this morning. Father, I just pray that you'll fight the enemy off and that you'll give Michael peace, Lord. That you'll increase his faith, Father. That you'll make him strong, Lord. And that you'll keep his eyes focused on you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Father, I know that I am being lied to right now, and I pray with my wife Lord God Almighty, why was I okay last night and now I'm waking up this morning and I'm not? Father, please have mercy on your servant, Lord. I know you're telling me to take up the shield of faith, no doubt. Lord, please help me and have mercy on me, Lord God. Let me not have this feeling in my body the day that I have to go do this huge thing. Strengthen me, Lord God. Strengthen me by the power of your Spirit, Lord. Help me, Father. I did not choose to have these thoughts. Please, Lord, I look to the heavens, to the hills, to where my help comes from. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. Lord, I seek your face. We seek your face, Father. Strengthen us and help us, Lord. Bring peace, Lord. I've had peace all night. God, nothing. I don't understand this, Lord. Is it? If it's just me, help me. If it's Satan, help me. Either way, Lord, help me in the name of Jesus Christ so that I can be strong for you today and strong for my wife. Father, help me. Help my brain to get out of this cloud, whatever it's in, Lord. In Jesus' name, help me to rise above this dark cloud. Help me again to see the truth. Help me again to see the hope. Help me, Father, and strengthen me and bless me in Jesus' name, God. Please have mercy on your servant. Have mercy on your servant. Help me to understand this, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The spiritual attack lifted, and I was able to finish getting all the things ready to go. I picked up the rental car, and I was on the road by 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. Lisa was anxious to stay up with me, even though it was very, very early in the morning for her in New Zealand. Right now, I have 3 hours and 51 minutes to go, 173 miles, and I arrive at 4:08 p.m. Atlanta time, so I'll be there by 4:08. But yeah, just rest, honey. Just rest, sweetheart, and finish getting your sleep. Then after you've had your rest, you can text me again. There's no need for you to be up now, okay? I love you so much. I am on my way to my baby. I'm on my way, honey. I'm going to try to really think about that. I'm going to listen to my message that I sent to you. I've listened to it once already this morning, and it's really encouraging to me. So I'm going to listen to it again, the message I made yesterday, where I capture all the things that God has done for me in the past and stuff with you and I. And oh, baby, just really some neat things have happened this morning with the numbers, of course. It's like right now I feel no fear. I'm sure I might when I get a little closer, but I'm going expecting that, honey, God is going to do something amazing for us, baby. He's just been flat telling me over and over again, you know, just go, just believe. I am, darling, I am.
Hey, my baby. Oh, you sound fantastic, my love. You sound so filled with faith, and I'm so thankful to the Father for that. Wow.
Right now it is 11:35 on August 25th, 2021. I am headed to Atlanta, Georgia. I'm in the rental car. Tyler seemed to take it really well. I got another blessing. On the way to the post office, I made him ride with me and I said, son, I'm going to be really happy to hear. My prayer for you is that you'll have some relationships outside of work. And he goes, Dad, it's already happening. I said, I'm going to the movies on the 6th with Drew and Brett. And I said, oh, super cool. So I just said, wow, I feel like the Lord just blessed me. Here I am leaving, and it's like I've always just wanted my son to get some friends outside of work, not just the friends that are in Florida. So I'm really, really happy to hear about this. This is really super cool for me to have this. I'm super happy for Tyler. And I said, you know, we're always a video conference call away and we can talk. And he goes, yeah, Dad, we used to do long talks when I was in Florida. I said, yeah. Because I had said, you know, I told him, I said, I don't feel like I have much more that I need to say to you, son. I said, I've lived with you for 2 years, 23 months to the day. And 1 month to the day, he turns 20 years old, and I picked him up when he was 18. Wow, that's incredible. I'm leaving to go to New Zealand 1 month short of the day that is our two-year anniversary. So I have just already, you know, been seeing all the numbers, you know, this morning. It's just been such encouragement to me. I'm so thankful. Right now, I have absolutely no fear in my heart whatsoever. It feels like I don't know if God is keeping me numb to it, if he's
not allowing me to fuel, or if I just feel like, oh, well, I have 4 hours to drive, and so I don't have to worry about it until I get close or what. But I've asked the Lord to please keep me in full faith. I mean, I am doing right now the absolute craziest thing that I would have ever imagined God would have asked me to do. This is on a whole nother level of crazy. It's like I cannot doubt this. It's like, as scary as this is to think, if you think about this in the natural, this is the creepiest, craziest, most insane thing I've ever heard anyone do. I've never heard, I mean, much less me doing. And right now, it's 11:40. I'm taking a screen capture of that. 11:40. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Right here while I'm on the road, 11:40. I feel very confident in the Lord that He's going to do exactly as He said. And if I look at, you know, trying to figure it out, then that's going to create anxiety for me. But if I just show up and go as far as I can go until I can't go anymore, that's the edge of the Jordan River. The way it worked with the Jordan is they went as far as they could go, and then they couldn't go anymore. And when they touch that place that they cannot go, that's when God opens the door. And I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know if I'm not even going to be able to go inside the international terminal, or if the Lord is going to have somebody. I mean, I have no idea how this is going to happen, but I told my son, I said, son, I have every reason to believe in full confidence and assurance that you are going to receive a phone call or a text picture of me sitting on that airplane tonight. So I'm just going to stay close to the Lord and be in prayer. I'm finding it very encouraging this morning as I was finishing up my packing that I was listening to the journal recording that I made yesterday on the mountain. It's like an hour and 20 minutes long, and it was very encouraging to me because I'm putting all the things in there that I could remember off the top of my head of all the things God had done, and asking the question, why, if God did all that, is He not going to do this? He did not. It literally is like He keeps showing me all the, remember the wonders I did to bring you out of Egypt, and then you will see this huge blessing again, these wonders I'm getting ready to do for you. And God has done amazing wonders for us. You know, this is just incredible. Truly the most remarkable faith experience, a leap of faith I have ever taken. Just absolutely mind-blowingly amazing.
I felt quite relaxed as I made my drive over to Atlanta, and I took note of the fact that I still saw several providences of God showing me numbers pointing to scriptures that were really encouraging to me.
Oh, honey, you would not believe how God has blessed me with the numbers today, darling. He answered my prayer, sweetheart. Sweetheart, this experience is surreal. I'm 42 miles away. It says I'm going to arrive at 4:17. He is the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. He's calling this that is not as though it were. I asked Him to keep me from being afraid, and I drove through this little bitty town, honey, and it says, be bold and be courageous in the Lord. In this little bitty town on this church, and I'm just driving up and I'm looking up at the sign that says, be bold and be courageous in the Lord. Just as I was thinking about, like, you know, what I'm going to do and going and say, and oh, baby, the faith that He's given me is remarkable, honey. I have not had the first even hint of fear. I did see 2666s, and I just immediately prayed, and I said, oh God, strengthen me and help me and bless me in this, and I trust You, and I'm just going to keep going. And in spite of the opposition, I had seen a 951, so yeah, he's got me. Here's a 511 right here. Now I'm on the road where there's hardly no cars at all, because I'm out in the country. Yeah, He's blessed me, honey, even more than the numbers is what's going on in my heart. I just feel relaxed. I mean, I guess if I wanted to think about it and get myself all worked up, I could, but why do that? I'm really, really excited about this. I mean, I'm like, wow, God, what a privilege, like You said last night in Your prayer. What a privilege that we're getting ready to see this. Another 666 right here, honey, right while I'm doing this. Wow. if I didn't have 12 years of a track record of God doing things similar to this, I would know I'm nuts. I would know that I am nuts and I need to be put away. I'm no better off than, you know, some really, really, really insane person sitting in a mental asylum right now saying that they're Jesus. This is what it is. I mean, it's like this is impossible. 4:34, right here. A truck passing me right now, and of course I'm going to take a picture of that. I'm in downtown Gunnersville. And 434 is Deuteronomy 434. You see, these things are not coincidences. Like, I would just ask, and here's a 351 on my left. I would just ask anybody who thinks that this is a coincidence to try to see if you can make this happen yourself. I mean, just go look for numbers. And 555 right here on the left, right there. And I just said, God encouraged me. As the truck is passing the white car on the left is 555. How can I not get excited about this? When Lisa heard me say this morning in prayer, or maybe last night, God encouraged me with the numbers on the way. Keep me encouraged, Father. Keep me in faith. Keep me strong. Let your love lift me up and encourage me. And here it is. I'm seeing a 434, Deuteronomy 434, about God showing his power to deliver the Israelites across the Jordan and into the promised land. And the 555 just as he passes it on the left. Just wow. I remember when I was being told to contact Lisa and tell her that she was supposed to be my wife, I remember thinking to myself how crazy that sounds, both to me and to her. And yet, I had this peace. And if you go and listen to that recording in the series, The Grace to Love Again, there, I guarantee you I'm testifying into that in that recording about this amazing peace that I have. It was just incredible. And that's how I really knew God was going to do this. And it's this peace. This peace right now is the strongest evidence I have. It's not the numbers. It's exactly like what I said with Lisa. I told her, I said, this is going to be the craziest thing you've ever heard. And I think I said in that recording, I think I said, I am either, you know, something to the effect of the most blessed man I know or the biggest idiot, lunatic. You know, you're going to think I'm a lunatic, but just ask God and he will show you. But this peace that I had, oh my goodness gracious, the peace. I'm in it right now. This cannot be coming from me. This isn't denial. This isn't, you know, no. I'm well aware of the fact that I have my whole life packed in four suitcases and my house is on a cargo ship headed to New Zealand, and now I'm headed. I'm following my house. And I had no reason to believe that Lisa would say anything other than, oh man, I'm not interested in you in that way, or wow, Michael, like no way, or whatever kind of reasons that she could come up with. And you know what? God had sent his angel before me. Because this is the part of the testimony that, you know, we haven't had a chance to tell, is that God told Lisa in advance that I was going to be contacting her.
And then it got to a part in his recording where he talks about how he will be married again and mentions something along the lines of that God already has a wife for him and that she's out there. And as soon as he said that, it was like there was this knowing in my spirit, like an inner witness voice speaking really loud to me saying, and it's you. And I basically jump off the stool in the kitchen while I'm listening to this, and I'm like talking to myself like I'm a mad person saying, are you crazy? What are you on? Like, what do you mean it's you? And it just kept coming. I kept hearing it, the voice saying, it's you. You are his new wife. And then when I said goodbye to my mum, I had this feeling come over me that I would be hearing from Michael the next day, that he would contact me about this.
So there you go. God walked me into Lisa, the relationship, clearly sent his angel, the Holy Spirit, ahead to give her a way and open that door. And stepping into that door then became effortless. It was effortless. I didn't have to try to talk her into it. She was shocked, but I didn't have to beg. I didn't have to plead. I didn't have to talk her into it. She knew. God did it. That's an incredible thing to remember. An incredible thing to remember. Now I'm trusting that God is sending his angel ahead of me again. Have no idea what could happen. Man, this is incredible. Wow. I mean, there is something so surreal about this. Like, there's part of me that just doesn't even realize I'm actually moving. Like, I'm leaving. 7777 right now. 2565917777 on a big old trailer sitting out on the right. I would not want to be the person listening to this right now. Like, I would not want to be listening to myself right now before this came to pass. Like, if I were listening to somebody else's recording right now, they were saying this, I would think they are nuts. There's just no doubt about it. I would think they are nuts. But, you know, I wouldn't have the benefit of knowing all that God had already done in their life and et cetera, et cetera. So anyhow, now I'm going to go back and just chill out and relax, continue to pray and trust the Lord. And my whole emphasis is on do not be afraid, just believe.
I was less than 10 miles now from the airport, and Lisa had suggested to me that we both listen at the same time to my favorite song, Spirit Lead Me by Michael Ketterer.
This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it.
Oh, you did better than me, sweetheart. I cried. I cried. Yeah, just hearing it, even when it doesn't make sense, you know. And yeah, sweetheart, this is unbelievable. I just felt like, you know, God, I'm doing this. I'm risking everything. Dial 911. You hear the siren? 911 just passed, and a car just pulled right in front of me. 727. I will send my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way for you. And literally, as that siren just went by, 911. So, I'm dialing 911. Yeah, I just had a moment where I just cried, you know, realizing how tough this is and that this is absolute humiliation. This is where you put yourself at, you're willing to lose everything because you believe you've hurt God. So yeah, I'm sitting in a light that looks like I'm only now 3.8 miles away. All right, baby, I love you. I love you so much.
I get to the rental car thing, and I have to leave the rental car where it's at, run and go find a $9 baggage cart, which these things barely fit on. And I make my way just barely through to the terminal. I get on the first tram that I feel is taking me to the right place. I get off on the tram, and I notice on the right it says domestic north, domestic south, and I'm going, no, I need the international terminal. And so I'm like, oh, great, I'm already lost. I'm already running late. Now I'm in this little, you know, little terminal area for this tram. And I'm like, okay, I need to rethink of what I need to do. And I need to push. I pushed all my bags into the center and I'm there all by myself. Everybody else is getting off the tram and going where they want. And I look and there's this little old frail looking kind of black man walking over towards me. And he's like, you know, you need some help, you know, and immediately I begin to wonder if this guy's an angel. Hebrews 1:14, it says that the angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit eternal life. Then I had seen 1:14, you know, several times that day. I didn't realize till this morning that it happens to be Hebrews 1:14 because I was listening to the book of Elijah this morning by A.W. Pink, and he talks about how God sends his angel to help support Elijah. I'm not entirely convinced that this man was not an actual angel. He just walks straight over to me. And I'm like, now why would this guy walk all the way from across to like see if I had a problem? Like, I didn't look like I had a problem. But he walks over to me and he says, you know, do you need some help, sir? Can I help you? And I said, you know, I made a mistake. I said, I got off on the wrong terminal. I'm supposed to go to international. He goes, oh, that's right over here. That's right over here. You come on over here and you walk down there and you go down the steps, you take a ride. And he's giving me all these directions and I can barely understand him. He's got a mask on and he speaks very Southern, and he's got a, you know, his voice is not super clear to me. So he said, oh, I'll show you. You know, you followed me. I'll show you over there. He goes, and then he started saying, like, you know, you help me out, I help you out. That's why I like to do that thing. We get into the elevator, and I'm happy that this guy's got an answer for me, and he's taking me to where, you know, I need to go. And apparently I didn't get off at the wrong place. I needed to just go a little bit further from where I was at. So I said, we get in the elevator, and I said, so how can I help you? What kind of help do you need? I need $17.50 to be able to get to so-and-so, whatever. I said, no problem. I can make that happen for you. And he goes, that's what I'm talking about. You know, yeah, I help you and you help me out. That's the way I like to do it. You know, I'm still not convinced this guy is a real person because he knew where everything was at so easy. And I said, so do you work here? He goes, no, I don't. I'm part of the work, something workforce, you know. And but he didn't look like he was, something was off. I couldn't get it. And I'm like, okay, he's an older man. He's kind of frail. He doesn't work there. He seems to know the airport like the back of his hand. And he's taking me, and I give him $20. And then he asked me for a little bit more. And I said, oh, no, I said, I only got this 100 and this 20 or whatever. And so he very well, he could have been a guy who just knows to look for people that need help, that are lost. And he might be a guy who hangs out there, and it may have not been an angel. But what I found so interesting about it was, is that when I make a mistake, after he gives me directions, he leaves me. I give him the money, and he goes around, and he goes, yeah, you just go right around over here, and you know, right where that red tape's at or whatever. I said, thank you, sir, thank you, God bless you. And he took off and he left. And so he walks across the street into the other terminal. I'm supposed to stay on this side, but I don't. I walked across the street also. And I see a bunch of people sitting and waiting. And I thought he had pointed to where those other people were at. So I'm going over there. Well, he turns around and yells at me, no, you got to turn around. You got to go back to the other side. See over there where that red tape's at? That's where you got to be, right over there. And I thought to myself, now why would this guy, after I've given him the money, still be looking to make sure that I got to where I was going? And from so far away, see me and turn around and yell at me and correct me to turn around and go back. I mean, it just didn't make sense to me. You know, I don't know. That guy very well could have been an angel. The Bible says, you know, entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels unawares. And I just found that the timing couldn't have been better for that guy to find me exactly when I needed help. I mean, what are the chances of that? And he doesn't know that I need help. He starts walking towards me. All I did was take my carts and go to the chair in the middle. I didn't look like I was in distress or anything like that. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it was very interesting to me. I also found it very interesting that another man was very kind to me. He was a shuttle driver, and he was giving me insight and telling me, you need to stay here, you know, so forth and so on. You need to wait right here. This is where the guy will come. And, you know, oh, you may have just missed it. And then he said to me, oh, no, here he comes here. And he's coming now and all that. And he just was really nice to me, this shuttle bus driver who was standing next to the place. And I just thought, man, this is really interesting. Like, I'm getting this, like, kind of special kind, you know, treatment, it felt like. So that happens. I finally get all my bags, you know, loaded on this guy's shuttle bus. I get to the international terminal, and fortunately for me, they had some free carts. So I ran over, he held my bags, I got the cart. And man, at this time, I'm starting to realize, you know, soon I'm going to get stopped. You know, I'm going to go as far as I can go, but this thing, I'm going to have to get stopped somewhere. And, you know, Lisa and I had, we had dreamt up everything you could think of. We knew that we had heard from God. We knew he was going to do this, but it's impossible. I'm walking into an international terminal with no passport, no visa. I'm going by faith, and we had thought of everything, like, you know, I could walk in the doors at the international terminal there and turn around and be walking right out at the, you know, the doors at in Auckland. I mean, literally just believing God, you can do anything. You are God. And we don't know, but we just want to give you the floor and take you out of any kind of a box that our little tiny faith has put you in. God, you can do anything. And again, not even asking him to do anything that's not in the Bible. Everything we had thought about is in the Bible. Even, you know, being translated is in the Bible. So I walk into the international terminal, and now I'm starting to feel a little bit nervous. I'm like, not terrible, but I'm starting to feel like, oh, wow, God, I'm doing this, and I'm praying, Lord, God, you got to help me. Don't let your servant be put to shame. And from this point on, for the next basically 2 hours and 45 minutes, I probably got to the terminal about 2 hours and 45 minutes before the plane took off. And that next 2 hours and 45 minutes is an extraordinary time. But I think it was probably about 15 minutes in where I'm like, God, I'm waiting here. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm waiting for perhaps an angelic escort. I'm waiting for perhaps somebody that God would have given a vision to of, hey, this guy's got this suitcase with these crosses on it. I want you to help him. I'm waiting for anything I can possibly think of that how God could help me. And I'm trying to make myself available, you know, standing out there in the open and just wondering, okay, God, what do you want me to do next? So probably the most important thing that's happening behind the scenes at this time is Lisa and I, this whole time, are going back and forth in texting and in voice recordings to each other through WhatsApp.
Oh, sweetheart, I don't know if you can hear me or not. I don't know if my headset is still connected or not, but yes, honey, we absolutely believe. And I said, God, you can transport me. I said, nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible for you. It looks too hard. It looks too impossible. But nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible for him who believes. All things are possible. I just made a little video of myself. I set my camera up on my bags and made a little video of myself walking so I could remember what I was doing the whole time, just walking and praying. And I'm just waiting on the Lord and just keep talking to him and tell him, save me, and I'm believing you, Father, and let me not be put to shame, God. What a disaster. What a disaster. If he doesn't come through for me, I mean, that's the way it always is. It's always a disaster if he doesn't come through.
And I'm trying to keep her abreast of where I'm at, how I'm feeling, etc. And she is the most encouraging, amazing blessing. She is sending me all these I love yous. I am so proud to be your wife. I'm so proud of you, my husband. God is proud of you. You keep going. You're doing great. She sends me pictures of a lion with Joshua 1:9. Do not be afraid. Be courageous. I will be with you wherever you go. She's doing all these things to encourage me and praying and all of this. It's just incredible. So we're going through this whole experience together. It was like she was with me the whole time.
I love you. Thank you so much for standing with me and, you know, being brave with me, honey, to go all the way to the end. Sweetheart, I told you, in the end, here's the way I see this. Even if God didn't deliver us, honey, we believed him. We gave him some strong faith. And I'm sure he'll give some kind of a wonderful explanation when we get to heaven why he didn't do this. I have no idea, but I just can't believe that at this point. I just can't. I'm in the weirdest place I've ever been in my life. I put everything on the line to believe God for this. This is absolutely bizarre. God, come through for us in Jesus' name. Help me, Lord. Save us. Save us, God. We've praised you. We've hoped in you. We've blessed your holy name. We've trusted in you. God in heaven.
And it really felt like I was not alone. And I have no idea how much more difficult this would have been. I mean, it literally felt like she was going through it with me. It didn't just feel like she was just like, hey, yeah, I'm doing dishes, but yeah, I hope everything's going. No, it's like she stopped everything she was doing that she possibly could. And she got in this thing with me. She mixed her faith with mine. She put her concerns with mine. She was, you know, right along fighting with me. She's just the whole thing, encouraging me, praying with me, etc. So now I'm at this place where it's like, okay, you know, I don't know what to do. And after she sent me this be courageous thing, I said, you know what? I just need to walk right up to that ticket counter. They had like a table set up where they're double checking your passport and, you know, your itinerary and all that stuff. And I saw the first time I saw it, I turned around and walked away. I was discouraged. I'm like, God, I don't have any of that. And so I saw them looking for people's passports and all that stuff. And I'm like, God, I can't go that way. You got to help me. And I had walked away again. And I went and got a drink of water. And I'm trying to allow God time to send somebody to help me. I said, you said if I step foot in the Jordan, my God, that it would be cut off. I mean, I really believed that this airport is my Jordan. I walked into this thing. I put my foot into it. And it hasn't backed up yet. And I said, Lord, I don't know what you're wanting me to do, but I feel like I've just come in and put my toe in. I thought, well, maybe I need to go a little farther. Maybe it's that I need to go all the way up. So I went up there to where they were checking people in. And the guy said, sir, you waiting to check in? I said, yes, sir. And he walked up to me and I said, sir, this is going to be the craziest thing you've ever heard.
And I said to him, I said, I have a ticket for this plane. And I said, I have an expired passport. I said, I applied for a renewal and it did not come back in time. Here's my IDs. I said, I am supposed to be getting married on 9/11. I said, is there any way, I came here in faith, is there any way that I can get on that airplane? He said, sir, I'm so sorry. He said, there is no way we can let you on that plane without a passport. And at first he almost kind of like hesitated. And I was like, wow, is there a way? Is there a way? And then he did not. And he said that to me. And I was just, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't panicked. I felt kind of neutral in the whole thing. And I'm just standing there and I'm going, wow, this is really happening. I'm being denied. I said, I didn't really want a refund. But I just said, well, is there, who would I talk to about getting a refund? And it was my hope that maybe he would connect me to a supervisor or something that I could just take it a step further and tell the story again, that I wasn't trying to quit. Like, is there another way? Is there anybody else we can talk to? And I asked him, I said, is there anybody else I can talk to? He said, sir, they can't let you on the plane without a passport. So I said, is there a number I can call? So he went to two different sections to find a little card that he came back, and it was just a little piece of paper. He said, call that number. The first number that I look at is 777. Qatar Airlines number starts with 777. So it's like he just said, here, call that number. And literally my eyes went, and it's like God saying, call that number, like call upon the Lord, call on that number. That's the number that God has used in my life so many times. Three times he's landed a date on 777. And so it just felt like, wow, okay, call that number. And so I stood there for a few minutes and I'm like, God, this is not how you made me believe this was going to happen. And I'm just standing there almost in disbelief that like, am I not going to get on this plane after all that you've told me? See, I mean, I went with so much confidence that I had heard from the Lord. I mean, even the day yesterday morning driving, the numbers were just overwhelming, encouraging me, believe, keep the faith, hope, you know, so forth and so on. I will deliver you and I'll do this by mighty acts and an outstretched arm and all this kind of stuff. And so I'm believing this, that this is the result, that I'm going and I'm going to get on that plane somehow. So I told Lisa what happened. She said, okay, baby, you did it. She said, you went. She says, now you just have to wait on the Lord. And she was just so encouraging to me. My wife became such an encouragement to me.
Baby, I could feel the temptation to quit. And I thought that exact same thing. I'm not going to give up. I literally started looking at the time. I'm like, wow, they're just barely going to have time to get my bags on the plane. And it brought discouragement. I said, nope, I am not going to lose hope. I'm going to hope all the way to the end until that plane leaves. That's when my heart's going to break. If that plane leaves without me on it, my heart will break. I mean, I'm not saying God couldn't do something after that, but I wouldn't have seen what the point of bringing me to this airport would have been if God was not going to get me on that airplane somehow. And I was almost going to go back over and ask those guys again. And I'm like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait.
It was like she was giving back to me what I had given to her for all those years through these recordings. She was giving back to me in my moment. And I just see Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. How God could not want my wife and I to be together would be something that I could never understand after he has blessed our relationship, blessed our faith, and blessed me with a wife who believes like this. My wife, she has extraordinary childlike faith that is so rich. It has to be such a huge joy to the Father's heart, because it surely is mine. And so she's like, now you just have to wait, honey. Just find some place to sit down. I mean, she's literally coaching me through the whole time, you know, and she's like, oh, honey, just look, is there a place you can sit down? You know, just find some place to sit down. I said, yeah, you're right, honey. I just need to do that and just wait. So basically for the next 2 hours, Lisa and I fight this out in prayer. We are in almost a constant state of prayer. At one point, she says, honey, I think I'm supposed to start worshiping God and praise him. She said, again, it's like Silas and Paul in prison. She starts singing a few songs that I know some. And so we are singing. And so now I'm walking inside the international terminal at the busiest airport in the world, Hartsfield Atlanta International Airport. And I am praying with my wife and praising God. We're walking back and forth. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. And we just keep singing it over and over. And there was two or three other songs. And we're singing. And I'm just walking back and forth with my headphones and my phone and singing. And I know some people are probably hearing me. And I'm just like, I don't care. And I'm just in prayer the whole time. We're just walking in prayer, in prayer, in prayer. Constantly, God, do not let your servant be put to shame. Lord, we have hoped in you. Father, we've come this far and we're just pleading and pleading. And, you know, it seems like I'm seeing a 7-7 or 7-33, but even now, if you plead with the Lord, he will rouse himself on your behalf and restore you to your rightful place. And we see, I'm sitting there looking out the window and the luggage trucks are coming and they'll pull up right in front of me, 929 or, you know, this number or that number. And I'm like, honey, for 2 seconds, there it was, the number 211. And there's this. And I'm just going, God, I don't understand why all this encouragement, you know, if you're not going to let me get on that plane. So I said, okay, well, honey, we are going to go the distance.
I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to wait for God to act on my behalf. I'm not going to try to force my way in a closed door. He might be testing me. It's funny, the 606 or not 606, 434, Deuteronomy 434, when was another God brought a nation out of a nation. And one of the things is by testings. And so maybe he's testing me, sweetheart. I'm holding on, baby.
There's so many things to learn from this experience. Jesus kept showing me 2:10 so many times over the last few weeks. Revelation 2:10, be faithful even to the point of death. This is the most important revelation I've had, and I couldn't have had this revelation yesterday. God even used my wife to help me to begin thinking like this.
Baby, isn't it true that Mary and Martha said to Jesus, you could have come and healed Lazarus while he was sick, but now he's dead? Maybe things weren't dead when you didn't have a passport and a visa and an MIQ, baby. Maybe they were just extremely sick.
He's really helped me to see this, and I'm so thankful. It's like God's given me this insight to help me see this situation a little bit more from his perspective, because you're standing there expecting this is your deliverance. This is how God is going to do this. This is when God is going to do this. This is the end. This is you fought the fight. You're at the airplane. Now, somehow or another, God's going to get you on there. He's either going to have an angel come and take you, you know, and get you on the plane, or he's going to just translate you onto the plane, and you just know you're getting on the plane and you're going to go. This has all been about the plane, all this packing of the bags. This was not for no reason, and this doesn't happen. I said, sweetheart, we are going to be faithful all the way to the point of where that plane lands. And one time I had even said to her, well, honey, if I wake up and that passport and whatever is not there on the morning it's time to go, then that's it. But she's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you're right. I have to be willing to go, like we talked about. I have to be willing to go all the way to the airport. I have to be willing to go to that airplane. So she's had this kind of faith the whole way with me. And there's been several moments where she's had more faith than me, stronger than me, where I've been just in this slog fest for so long. She has definitely strengthened me several times and really inspired me and caused me to lift my eyes back up to what is possible. Where even I, who have lived so long for faith, sometimes maybe even my faith has gotten a little tired. And she's been able to really encourage me. It's been beautiful. I mean, it's been so beautiful to see this. So the Revelation 2:10 is, be faithful even to the point of death. He basically says, look, Satan is going to put some of you in prison for 10 days to test you. Be faithful even to the point of death, and then I will give you the crown of life. Well, he speaks about, you know, perhaps physical death. But the real principle here that operates in the life of a Christian far more than the physical death is the spiritual death that attempts to encroach on all things life of Christ in our life. That means purposes that he has for us, blessings he has for us, work he has for us. Death from Satan tries to overtake that. There's nobody that's been as outspoken on that subject that I've ever read as Austin Sparks. God really gave him amazing revelations about the supreme testimony in heaven is that of resurrection. That is the testimony that Jesus Christ is the most jealous for, is a testimony of resurrection life over death. And that's why God will often in his servants' lives allow things to come into a death. Hence the experience I had with P and the whole ministry coming down. And then God raising it. And that plays a part in yesterday's story later with Lisa. So it's this idea of be faithful even to the point of death. And I thought we had death of the passport, death of the, you know, hope for a New Zealand visa, death for the MIQ reservation and all that. And it looks like that's death. It's not. Last night, Lisa ended up after I had to watch that plane pull out without me. I could see it backing out, and I'm like, okay, honey, that's my plane, and it's leaving without me. And I watched it leave, and it was a surreal moment, but I was not devastated. I was not in despair. It was surreal. I didn't feel sad. I didn't cry a single tear over any of this. I told Lisa, I said, okay, sweetheart, I'm in shock that I'm not on that plane. This is not at all what I expected. It was a death. There's no doubt about it that is the moment of death. And I watched that plane pull off out onto the runway. And it did so without me. And I'm thinking, God, this did not go how I expected. I'm in total disbelief that I'm not on the plane. I mean, and I'm just the whole time we're talking about all the things that God did to get us to this point. And my tiny house is on the way, and the $44,000 donation, and the 9/11 date that he gives to us, you know, tells us in advance after prayer, gives us a solid confirmation that he's going to give us the 9/11 opening at our honeymoon accommodation. And then tells me the exact day we're going to be blessed. And on that day that we're blessed is the day that the accommodation opens up for us. And we're looking at these things and we're going, God, there is no way. This cannot be the end of this.
Baby, isn't it true that Mary and Martha said to Jesus, you could have come and healed Lazarus while he was sick, but now he's dead? Maybe things weren't dead when you didn't have a passport and a visa and an MIQ. Maybe they were just extremely sick. Maybe it's when you saw that plane take off that now it's dead. Now it's dead. You're not on the plane. It's gone. It's over. Well, that's what it appears, huh? It's completely dead. It's like you've lost your chance to get to New Zealand, right? Now, we all know that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He didn't come any earlier to heal him from his sickness. Didn't you just say to believe and to the point of death? Well, we can definitely say it's well and truly dead.
So then I'm tired. I mean, I am exhausted. I had woken up at 3:30 the morning before. Now the negative thoughts are starting to come in on me. And by the time I get on the shuttle bus, I'm kind of numb. I'm going, oh my gosh, I have all these big giant bags and I have all this effort. I now have to drive 4 hours back home after I'm exhausted and I'm ashamed. And I'm sitting on that shuttle bus, and man, I can just feel it like this is, I have these thoughts of it's all over, the ministry's over, this is it, you've been led astray, you know, somehow or another, Satan outwitted you, and you're done, and you've crushed the heart of Lisa, you've dragged her through the mud, you know, and it's just this sense, just a quick sense that came to me, you know, like it's all over. And then I thought, this cannot be, and I just allowed myself to think about that, and that to me is acknowledging the death.
Sweetheart, I'm sorry, baby. I haven't had a chance to listen to your message yet. You would not believe what I've had to go through since I've gotten off that shuttle bus, sweetheart. I'm not trying to be dramatic.
It's like not being in denial that it didn't die. It was like my being realist about, okay, this just ended in death. This is horrible.
Sweetheart, I've only listened to 30 seconds of it, and I'm not even kidding you that when I was sitting, I don't remember where I was sitting, and I thought about telling you, maybe this is like Lazarus where Jesus said he waited 2 more days. If you go read the passage, when Jesus finds out he's sick, he waits 2 more days, intentionally allowing it to go into death. And that's why I said this is like Lazarus. It's like, you know, but you're right though, sweetheart. I've never thought about it. Now it's like, you're right. Now it is dead. I have never thought about that, sweetheart. Honey, you are absolutely right that we finally just met death. I just buried it right there at the airport.
But shortly thereafter, I made a recording to Lisa and I said, sweetheart, this is horrible. I'm tired. I said, but somehow or another, I still cannot give up, that I still have hope somehow that this can be turned around.
Even with as difficult as it's been to get back out of this airport, sweetheart, and to go through this with 6 bags, the sense that there's not a despair, I don't feel that sense of defeat. I do still feel hope. it looks horrible, but I can't go into despair. I should be able to be in despair right now if it was this bad. So I think I'm believing exactly the way you are, and that would be the only explanation for why God has shown me all these numbers today. No one, and I just, you know, when I was listening to your message, I look over, it's 9:33. No one who hopes in him will ever be put to shame.
Baby, this is how I felt when you told everybody that you're shutting the ministry down. It's exactly the same. This is just like a repeat. It's like, this can't be so. It can't be dead. God's got to resurrect this. I feel exactly the same way, baby. I feel gutted, yet I still feel like I've got hope. It's exactly the same. I feel exactly the same right this minute about how I did when you announced that your ministry was being shut down. And then look what happened. Look what happened, baby. And it wasn't resurrected immediately, but it was resurrected. I haven't given up, baby. Mm-mm. God is faithful. He's not a liar. I'm not giving up. And look, if I had given up, then I wouldn't have sent you those emails, and we possibly wouldn't be where we are today. You wouldn't have taken notice of me because I wouldn't have sent them. And then we wouldn't have had our first Skype call. We wouldn't have had that feeling at the end of not wanting to say goodbye. You wouldn't have had that dream that was nearly identical to the one I had just over 5 years ago, or 5 years ago. I just want to let you know that's where I'm sitting.
Anyhow, yeah, I'm really feeling just out of it in every way, sweetheart, but I have to tell you, I feel that you're onto something. This is the only explanation for why God has shown me all these numbers, and yet it's complete contradiction, and I find myself saying, but Lord, if you would have only showed up, I wouldn't have missed my plane. And it's, Lord, if you would have only showed up, my brother would still be alive. The truth is, I missed the plane. I haven't missed the wedding. Maybe I just missed. I felt like it was already dead, but I think you're actually right. I think it was just sick. I think you're really, really right, sweetheart. I'm so thankful that you are not giving up, sweetheart. I'm so thankful, baby. And oh, man, so thankful for that.
So from this point forward, my circumstances go straight downhill. To get out of the airport, when the lady drops me off at the rental car place, there are no carts to carry all these six bags. I'm all alone, and I have to somehow or another make it to the rental car counter with all six bags without being able to get a cart. I put my credit card in, it doesn't work. Put cash in, it doesn't take it. The bus driver lady felt so bad for me. She's like, oh my gosh, I mean, she's like, oh, and I said, don't worry about it, the Lord will help me. You know, Jesus is gonna help me, he'll get me out of here somehow. So finally, I figure out a way to try to stack all my bags together. Put two of them together, put two on top. She's like, oh yeah, that's good, or whatever. I push it about 5 feet. The top one falls off. They all crash. My one bag goes rolling all the way 20 feet away, and my bags are just littered all over the sidewalk. And they're heavy. They're each like, you know, 55 to 60 pounds. So I'm looking at this, and I'm just going, oh, God, help me. Now, I feel terrible in the circumstances, but I'm not in despair, and I don't feel that terrible stress or anxiety or getting angry like I would have years ago. I don't feel any of that. It's remarkable. Really, what I feel is a sense of sadness. It feels like I'm all alone, and it feels like I'm being mocked. It feels like I'm being mocked, like the cart didn't work for me to get the cart. Like, that's a mocking to make things even more difficult for me. Now I'm trying to limp these bags in, you know, carrying them a couple at a time. I get into the elevator, get the first two bags in, and the doors start to close before I can get my other bags and get in. I have to just barely get my foot in there in time. I mean, it was just so vulnerable. And then I get up to the top, I get out, and I'm like, now how am I going to get all of these bags down there to the countertop thing? And I try to fix them all up, and man, it's so hard. And I'm just, you know, people are like, what in the heck are you doing, you know, type of thing, and having no idea. I can't get the cart. I don't care, but I'm trying to get down there.
Sweetheart, I'm sorry, baby. I haven't had a chance to listen to your message yet. You would not believe what I've had to go through since I've gotten off that shuttle bus, sweetheart. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but the machine for the carts were broken, and I just had to try to wheel five bags all by myself with a backpack on. It was just really, really something that should have been seen on YouTube. I didn't get very, very aggravated. I just got sad. I'm like, God, look at this. your servant. I'm suffering like just humiliation. The bags went flying and dropped. I tried to put them together, and the first bag fell, and they all went falling straight away. And I finally got them here. I figured out a way to kind of roll them, but now I got to figure out how do I get them from here to the car. The cart machine was broken, and there's no carts around, so I'm in trouble. But I'm just slowly getting there. Maybe I'm tired and I'm hungry and I'm just beat. You know, I'll be able to, once I get in the car, I'll be able to say hello and talk to you. And I'm really sorry, sweetheart. I'm very, very, very sorry. But I actually, there's a part of me that it's like really weird. It's like, you know when to quit. And then there's another part of me that feels like, you know, is it possible it's not over? I just don't understand. I don't understand why God would have done all those things. And he's told us those several days where we hit, you know, the 21 days. I mean, we didn't get all of them, but we got most of them. And the 9/11 thing and all that and the 44,000, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense at all. You know, I mean, now I'm like worried about the tiny house and, ah, man, it's just horrible. This is horrible. I'll get back with you as soon as I get a car. Hopefully I can get a car. I'm so tired, I'm wondering if I should stop and get a hotel. I've now spent thousands of dollars. Oh, man, don't even get me started. It's okay. It's all right. I did what I knew I was supposed to do. I'm just really tired. And all right, baby, I'll talk to you in just a little bit, sweetheart. I love you.
I get down to Enterprise. I said, brother, I need your help. I rented a car from you guys this morning from Huntsville, Alabama. It was a one-way, so I paid the extra $200 to get that car here. Now I have to turn around and go back. Can you help me get in that car? Let me see what I can do, brother. Oh, man. He goes, you know, actually, we won't be able to do that because that car, you know, they're a different company than ours. That's a private-owned enterprise, whatever. We're the airport enterprise or whatever, and it starts becoming this big issue. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I said, okay, well, let me just get a car, and I'm going to have to now pay another one-way fee back. I hand him the debit card. Sir, we don't take debit cards. I said, what? I said, man, I'll pay a deposit. Nope, I'm sorry, I can't. It's the airport rule. I said, okay. I'm just trusting that this is happening, that God is allowing all this to happen for a reason. And he says, you need to try budget. So I have to go down and wheel all my bags again to another car rental place. Go in there. I say, ma'am, do you take debit cards? Oh, yes, we do. Blah, blah, blah. You know, one way, or where do you have a Georgia driver's license? If they do, they won't do it. You know, type of thing. I guess people try to steal them or party them in them. I don't know. But anyhow, I get a car, you know, and it's $250 for me to take this car one way. So now I have spent about $550 in rental car fees in one day. $550 for a rental car to go to the airport and back, and it just makes me feel so stupid. I finally get my bags in a way that I'm able to wheel them out to the thing, get in the car. It's this Subaru, which is really nice. I'd actually like to have one now after driving in it, but it's got all this fancy electronic stuff in it and radar sensors and this, that, and the other. And you know, it's late at night, and I'm like, oh man, now I have to learn another car. You know, and so I'm just starting to feel myself go downhill. And
sweetheart, I love you so much. I really wish that I was there right now, that you could give me a hug. I'd hug you back, but I need you to hug me first. Oh, man, what a slugfest. What a slugfest. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. 252, do not let your servant be put to shame. Yeah, I don't even, I'm too tired to even try to think it out. I just need to rest. I'm like on the verge of, not Elijah, you know, saying just kill me or whatever, let me die. But it is helpful to remember that some of God's best servants had miserable failure moments. You know, they did. The moments they just wanted to give up. And I don't want to give up. I'm just really, really tired. I just need some food and I need some sleep. And I cannot even believe what I just did today. I cannot believe it.
Then I go to pull out of the parking garage, and it's like a hurricane. The hardest rain coming down, I can't even see. And it literally felt like Satan was mocking me. And, you know, God would have been allowing it. It literally felt like I was being kicked while I was down. It's like, you know, all these other little things that start happening. I just took it. I'm like, okay, Lord, this is my humiliation. So be it. It really felt like Satan was making fun of me. On the way home, my hope begins to increase. And Lisa and I trade several recordings back and forth, and
praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Glory. And you know, you stand here in this situation right now and you say, am I just making all this up? Am I just telling myself a biblical story? Am I just being led astray by the numbers that are pointing to scriptures? Is it just so happened that all these scriptures that we're seeing, that these numbers are pointing to all this? Keep the faith. God does amazing things. Persevere. You won't be put to shame. You're going to see the glory of God. I'm going to perform mighty acts and wonders. I'm going to lead you across. You're going to cross over. I mean, is it just a coincidence, or is it a grand scheme of Satan to try to get you to believe these things so that you and God both look like dumb idiots? You could really begin to think that. This is exactly what Austin Sparks says, that when God allows what you've been hoping for, believing for, and expecting to come into total death, it causes you to begin to question all the guidance you've had. And he says, oh, that only just gets you deeper in the mire and anchoring in what God has already done. So even though I've now met with a terrible, terrible circumstance that has brought everything now into death, I was making a message to Lisa, and I said, sweetheart, look at this. We were talking about how we both still have hope, that we are so disappointed, but yet we're not in despair. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. How can you explain that? That is exactly what we are, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We don't understand why this happened. We don't understand why God allowed this to happen like this. Perplexed, but not in despair. And so now we are both recognizing that we have this hope that we cannot let go of. And it's not that we're not unwilling to let go of. It's not that we're unwilling to admit defeat. It's that inside of us, we have a hope that this is not over yet. And when I now look at, be faithful even to the point of death, and then I will give you life. Not to the point of sickness, not to the point of weakness, not to the point of difficulty, to the point of death. And this is the point of death. Lazarus had to physically die. And, you know, this plane situation, leaving, that was death. And so here it was. I had this insight this morning. I said, okay, sweetheart, 418, one of the numbers God shows us. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. But it says he did not waver. So he faces the fact that his body is dead and her body is dead. Not that it's weak. Not that it's going to be difficult. He faces the fact of death. Against all hope. I said, sweetheart, we still had hope. There was a hope I could have gotten on that plane all the way up to the point that it left. That is where there was no hope. That's where I see that we finally have gotten to this place against all hope. Right now, I'm standing against all hope. Last night, Lisa and I started standing against all hope. If there's still hope, you're not standing against all hope. You're not against all hope. There's still some hope. There is no hope in these circumstances whatsoever. There's hope, but only in God. There's no hope in the natural circumstances. For Abraham, there was no hope that he could have a child. For Sarah, no hope that her womb could bear a child. No hope, none. It was dead, lights out. No hope I could get on that plane. It is gone. It's in the air right now. So that plane is going to be in the air all day today. There is no hope of me getting on it. It's gone. And yet, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And I said, sweetheart, we needed to get to this place. I see it now where we now have no hope and we still believe. And I do. I have had hope. When I got out of bed this morning, I slept till about 6:30. So I think I went to bed probably, 12:45-ish. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, do not let your servant put you to shame through unbelief. Strengthen me today. Help me, you know, that I will not put your name to shame. And last night, Lisa and I were crying out, God, don't just do this for our name. Do this for your name. Let not your name be put to shame. I kept saying, Lord, don't let your servants be put to shame. And finally, I'm like, God, it's about your name being put to shame. I don't want your name to be put to shame, Lord. I don't want people to look at this ministry as a joke and dismiss all the words that you've put in my mouth over the years and cast it away as I'm just some sort of a charismatic maniac or some guy that's just a Fruit Loop. I said, God, don't do this to me. You've delivered me every single time. I thought that this was the biggest test and I thought the end of it was last night, but it wasn't. I saw last night in a recording, or I heard last night in a recording, Isaiah 55:8, where
he was talking about how God was dealing with Elijah when he was dejected. He quoted from Isaiah 55, where God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thinking is not your thinking. And he talks about how his thinking is so much higher than yours is, than the heavens are above the earth. And sweetheart, I think that's a big key, that we keep thinking about this like, I mean, we do know the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. But when it comes to how he's going to work something out, like we can know that, oh yeah, this is how the Lord works. He'll bring us into death, raise us up. Or yeah, if we persevere in faith, he'll bless us. But we don't know how he's planning on bringing these things out. Okay, so here's the other thought I had is, I saw so much confirmation today that I think to myself, now hold on a second. If I was going to be on that plane, did I really need that much confirmation today? And what's my point? My point is it almost could look like the Lord gave me so much confirmation, so many numbers today that it would be obvious they were from him. And when I went to this result and found Lazarus dead, I don't shrink back. Like, for example, I told you that the number one reason why I couldn't give up is because of all the evidence and the providence of God in this. You know?
He talks about, my ways are not your ways. My thinking is not your thinking. And so you think that God needs to have gotten me on that plane. That's how we think. That's not how God thinks. God thinks so differently about situations. God says, no, I want to let that go completely into death, and I'm still going to get you there. I want you to see my power. Now, I'm standing now in a situation where I realize that when I get to New Zealand, it is going to be by the miraculous, mighty, outstretched arm and powerful deeds and wonders of the Lord. This is going to explain why God has been showing me all these scriptures, Lisa and I both, that talk about him doing wonders. Sparks teaches that as you see in scripture, the greatest testimony, the supreme testimony in heaven, is a testimony of resurrection. Wherever something has been brought into death through Satan, the prince of death, and then it has been resurrected through the Prince of Life, Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate testimony, the supreme testimony in heaven that Jesus is so jealous for, is the testimony of resurrection life over death. And in this moment, We have stepped into death. Last night, Lisa did something remarkable. She sent me a picture of the email that she sent to me all the way back in February of 2021, where the ministry has gone down. And she says, "No, this cannot be. I know that you hear from God. I still have hope. There has to be a resurrection for you." It had all come into nothing. And it's like, I don't know how I forgot this. But Lisa remembered it. She said, "Sweetheart, look at this. We're right back in this exact situation. You believed, you had these dates, you believed God was going to deliver. It comes into nothing and it ends in death, and you pull a ministry down for integrity purposes, et cetera, et cetera. And then what it was several, 2 weeks later, God tells you to get it back up going, and you've come back more blessed and more anointed and all that stuff. And God has turned it all around. He resurrected it." And she said, "Here we are in that same exact situation. He allowed it all to come into death. He'll have to now resurrect it." So to me, if I'm still hearing correctly from God, which I believe I am, the only reason that I would not believe that I'm not hearing from God is because the circumstances completely contradict. But that is how faith works. The circumstances oftentimes completely contradict. And the thing here is the timing. I thought for sure this was the time. I thought for sure this was the way God was going to do it. And I obeyed him. And I needed to go into this situation. I needed to believe this. I need to be standing here today still hoping against all hope. This needs to happen. This is a Romans 8:28. This is what, and here's so what's so wonderful is I shared a message this morning. Jared reached out to me this morning and he thought that I was leaving today. So he had this kind of real solemn, like, "Brother, thinking of you, praying for you," so forth and so on. And I said, "Okay, well, I'm going to give him a message." So I sent him about an 8-minute message to try to explain to him that, what happened last night. And he came back to me. And at the end, I said, "Brother, I still have hope. I still have hope. Even though I've just stepped into something horrible, I still have hope." And, it's like 10:10 right now. If you think about this, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's death. But I have come that they may have life and life to the full. You cannot have life to the full without having stealing, killing, and destroying. You have to realize you're dead or the circumstance is dead in order for Jesus Christ's resurrection life to enter into that. I mean, all of us are dead in our trespasses, in our sins, in our transgressions. And so the first act of resurrection is he resurrects every one of us through faith in him from the dead spiritual zombies that we are, alienated from God into children of God that can now be reconciled to him. So we start out our relationship with God with resurrection power. And he is, I am the resurrection and the life. He continues to be the resurrection and the life in all situations, not just our souls going to heaven. I told Jared I still have hope, and he had made me this message. And he said, "Man, this is so encouraging to hear, brother." He says, "I've been getting these messages about hope recently and wondering if God was going to bring my situation into total hopelessness." And he said, "I've been listening to, these messages by this guy named Horatius Bonar." And he was a poet like back in the 1800s, Scottish. I've heard of him before, but I haven't ever looked at his teachings. And he said he was talking recently about hope. And he said that the saints have always had a hope that never failed, that it was so strong that it looked like insanity, if I heard him correctly, saying that it looks like you're insane because you will not give up hope. And I thought to myself, that's the temptation to give up, is to say, face the fact that you're defeated. This is the message. Okay, look, we'll have more respect for you if you'll at least admit defeat. But don't keep going on this whole "I'm still trusting God" business. I mean, that message, I could feel the temptation for that message to come into my heart. Look, man, just admit that you're a failure in this. Everybody loves a humble person. Don't be one of these insane yokels who cannot accept defeat. Don't be somebody who's delusional. And that message was coming to me this morning. And I said, "Lord, I've waited out. And I've told Lisa too, I cannot give up this hope because of what I've seen." And so here it comes down to this. How do I throw away all that God has done to get us to this point? simply because I met with a deadly circumstance yesterday that seems to contradict all that. It does not nullify it. It does not. I used to think it does. It does not. Not if you have hope of resurrection life. I am not able to say, oh, you know what? The $44,000, that was obviously just a coincidence or God playing some sick joke. Oh, you know, Lisa asking so specifically for a particular confirmation for 9/11 booking to open up for our honeymoon accommodation. The exact thing that she asks for happens. And then on a 21-day Daniel 10:12 marker, which it was Daniel 10:12, just a minute ago because it's 10:13 now. And I saw it and I was thinking about that. But that Daniel 10:12 promise that we had for a blessing on August 13th, that is God giving me something to anchor in. That's God letting me know, no, Michael, this isn't random happen chance. You hold on to what I've already done. You do not yet understand what I'm doing right now with this death thing and you're not getting on that plane, but you will, however, later. Jared was mentioning that this guy says that the true saints of God always persevere through every kind of difficulty, every kind of terrible situation. He said they always hope. And he says even if they get to the point where there is no hope in this life, their hope is in heaven. He said they just always persevere. And he said, brother, that's what you're, you know, doing. And he says, man, I'm so proud of you. And it was just a really encouraging timing message that came from Jared, where I had already told Lisa this morning, baby, I still have hope. I cannot. And I used the word hope over and over again. And so here I am. And shockingly, I have joy in my heart. I don't feel like I just went through the death experience I did. I feel quite wonderful. I feel refreshed in my spirit. I feel ready to fight and believe again. I'm not saying I won't have some Ephesians 6:16 arrows coming at me soon. I think I'm going to go up to the mountain later today and I'm going to do some reading today and just trying to encourage myself. But there is still hope. Until I do not get to New Zealand and marry my wife on 9/11, there is still hope. This morning, I'm making this message to Lisa, and I said, sweetheart, I cannot give up on the idea, this 9/11 date. And as I said that, you can hear me in the message go, honey, 9/11, 9/11, 9/11. I'm driving right past a particular business here in town that has 9/11 signs in their front yard with their phone number ending at 9111. And I was just happened to be driving right past it, and I saw them when I said that. It's like God has confirmed it over and over again. I went out this morning and all the numbers are like, you know, I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God is going to throw this mountain into the sea. And so we want to just be. I now feel that we have been faithful to God even to the point of death. I now feel that the Lord has an opportunity to bring glory to his name because he sees that his children trusted him last night. He sees that we were so weak and so crying out to him and so trusting him that we're in that airport praying and we were calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be delivered. No one who hopes in him will ever be put to shame, although it looks like it. Now we're positioned by faith to see resurrection life. Now, against all hope, in hope, we can believe and become the husband and wife of each other just as God promised. Now we can face the fact that our plane ticket and my plane trip to New Zealand is as good as dead. Now we can face that. And that the visa is dead and that the MIQ reservation is dead. And that Lisa has no way of fixing this and Michael has no way of fixing this. Now we can say this. And now we can say without wavering in our faith. Now we can say, but we were strengthened in our faith and gave glory to God. I'm strong in my faith today. And gave glory to God. Being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he promised. We either have a promise from God or we have a delusion. And I am absolutely convinced the circumstances, my heart, and 12 years worth of evidence that God has never once failed me. And whatever he does not allow to happen, he brings into something, you know, even better. And here I saw this 818 this morning. You know, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. Isn't God going to do something marvelous to get me into New Zealand? Isn't this going to be incredible? This morning I come down from the steps from my sleep at 7:01, the first time I come down. 7:01 points to the scriptures today being faithful in affliction, persevering in suffering. These are the scriptures that God shows me today. Yesterday it was about standing firm in trials, and today the scriptures are all for the spiritual maturity categories I have. They're all about patience and suffering. And one of those scriptures that was on the yesterday's marker for the 25th was this 1 Peter, I can't remember the scripture off the top of my head, where Lisa spoke that to me last night. I said, sweetheart, that was one of the memory verses for yesterday morning that I had looked at. God is still leading us to the same scriptures. We're still believing. We still have hope. We have been faithful to the point of death. Then I will give you the crown of life. So I'm now believing that we have positioned ourselves after this fight. What a fight it was. What a remarkable experience. And I think the final point that I would want to capture is, I told Lisa, we have to be faithful even to the point of death. I just didn't know what death was. That's the difference. I kept telling her, honey, we're going to be faithful even to the point of death. But I did not realize that it would be this. I think I did say, you know, we could get to the point where this happens and it doesn't happen. I said, this is going to be spectacular. It's either going to be the most spectacular failure or the most spectacular blessing. And right now it's a failure because it came into death. But now it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to resurrect it. And you would look at this and go, well, come on, man. I mean, how is this going to happen? You know, you can't buy a plane ticket. Nope, I don't need to worry about any of that. You still don't have a visa. Nope, don't need to worry about that. You still don't have MIQ. Nope, I don't need to worry about that. If God wants to get me to New Zealand that bad, he can poof, snap his fingers. Me and my bags are right there in Lisa's house, just like that. And would I now have any regrets about spending the money, $500 on the rental cars? Would I have any regrets about the amount of money I spent on the plane ticket, about the fact that I didn't land in Auckland 5 minutes after 8:28 if God did something like that? No, I would not. I don't know what God's going to do. I'm going to let him be God. I just know that now I know he is the resurrection and the life, and he can resurrect this situation. It is not too late. There is a reason why he's continued to show me even 8:04 this morning. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's hope. And hope does not disappoint us. I saw that scripture yesterday. Hope does not disappoint. I still have hope. And I'm not going to be disappointed. No one who hopefully waits for me will ever be put to shame. Isaiah 49:23. And you will know that I am the Lord. No one who hopefully waits for me will be put to shame. I had some moments last night where I started to lose hope. I did. I had some moments last night where I started to lose hope. But I have, with God's help and my wife's encouragement, I lifted myself, you know, back up. And with God's help, we got lifted back up. And Lisa helped lift me back up. And now this morning, after just getting on my knees, a simple little prayer, Lord, strengthen your servant that my faith may not fail, that I may not bring shame on your name. Strengthen me today to believe. And man, has he strengthened me. I should be in total hopelessness right now, and I'm not. On the contrary, I feel absolutely confident that there's no need for me to do anything different with my suitcases. But I'm going to trust the Lord's going to speak to me. I'm going to trust the Lord is going to encourage me. He's been giving me so many of the scriptures that point to the hopes. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to continue on. And that's my overall update for right now. And may God be glorified in Jesus' name when this comes to pass. Amen. And I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be a fool. I'm willing. And I had originally envisioned walking up to the ticket counter and saying, ma'am, my name is Michael Criswell. I have a ticket, but unfortunately I was not yet able to get a passport. Here's my application for one. It did not come. And because of this, I was not able to apply for a visa, but I do qualify for being married to a partner in New Zealand. And I am getting married on 9/11. And And I felt myself just giving her everything I had. And then her saying, Michael, I am so sorry. There's nothing I can do for you without a passport, so forth and so on. I can't do anything for you. And I saw myself saying, you know something? It's okay. In the kingdom of God, the greatest virtue one can have is humility. And there's no way I can go through what I'm going through right now without gaining a tremendous amount of humility.
And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. Say to trust, I will obey. I don't wanna follow my own ways. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me. Oh, Spirit, lead me. It felt like a burden.
when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. You're the